They call me Albert, aka Talk of Fame. I love Walt Disney World. I think you feel the same. I'm gonna help you navigate all four parts. We'll start in the daylight, we'll finish in the dark. The Magic Kingdom has castles and lands. Pull the sword out of the stone, you'll be king if you can. Go mining for diamonds with the seven dwarves and make your day bright with Snow White on your own dance floor. You got...
Wait, hold it. Let's get it real.
I don't want
to hear it again.
What did you just
explain yourself?
Yes, what was that?
Hello, they call me Albert, but my name is Doobie, and this is the Laughing Place podcast. You guys had a question. You guys didn't like Albert.
So, just where's this from?
Disney side.
This is a Show Your Disney Side video that Disney
YouTube.com/Disney Parks.
Yes, this is today's
Disney
Disney
Parks
side
endorses.
Yeah, this
Albert's.
Was a Disney Parks video. Yeah.
This is today's.
Was
Disney
it
side
like
video.
Written and produced by Disney Parks, or is this a fan that they just selected?
This is a fan that they selected to have the opportunity to have it. Well, he is Albert Lawrence, aka Talk of Fame.
Good for Albert.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
How fun.
And I'm happy that. I feel like.
Is it too early to sell Micro Studios?
By presenting Albert out there, it's bringing a bit of a different demo to the Disney fan, you know, some hardcore rap, as well as perhaps because of the hardcore rap, they will bring in a different demo, like some of the more urban potential fans like myself. So,
excuse me, I would just like to say that Disney World does not let you pull the sword from the stone. Thank you.
So I know.
Maybe that's about to come back. Maybe that's the breaking news.
Parents just don't understand was as hardcore as I previously listened to, but now I feel like I've crossed the next line.
I feel like this is just a step below parents just don't understand, or grown-ups just don't understand.
At least one. But that was Albert. That was a fun Disney side video. They're doing lots of those. Check them out. Anyway, this is the Laughing Place podcast.
Or not.
Don't check them out.
If you
or this is not the Laughing Place podcast.
That's the first one I've checked out, to be honest. But I keep seeing them featured on by John, so I figure they're halfway decent. I'm Doobie. To my left is who cares. To my right is Rebecca.
Hey.
Across from me is Alex.
Hi ho.
Of Dinner and a Disney Movie fame, Hulk Juice. And to my left is Fanboy.
Sup.
That was the second show we started today with Albert. He may just become our new theme song. I hope he's. I do respect you. If you happen to be out there listening, Albert, I do respect your work and congratulations on your fame.
Did you feature him on a Periscope?
We did,
show
our
today?
Afternoon Periscope. Today.
Hey, okay. You guys should tell everybody what Periscope is. I don't think you've talked about it from the podcast yet.
Oh, you're right. Let's do sponsors real quick. We're sponsored by MouseyerVacations.com, who, one of their travel agents, was watching us on Periscope today and was able to tell us a little bit of information. We were confused about something, so that was very nice.
Awesome.
So that's why we recommend them. Concierge service, no extra charge, no matter where your Disney trip takes you. We're also sponsored by HojoAnaheim.com. Best place to stay near the Disneyland Resort. Do I have any breaking news today? I don't think so. I forgot to think about it. I mean, I forgot to check the newspaper. So, I have no breaking news today. And now, your Periscope update.
Talk about Periscope.
Am I supposed to talk about Periscope?
Somebody.
Periscope is this cool new app on iPhone and soon to be Android, I hope, that lets you broadcast, and even more importantly, soon to be landscape, I hope. broadcast portrait only currently.
Through Twitter.
Well, it announces on Twitter. It's from Twitter, but you actually watch it through this app or directly on a website. Not only can you watch, but when you're watching on the app, you can type in questions that'll just float up over the video, and then the person watching can answer them or comment on your comments or whatever. It's very ingenious, I would say. Very cool.
You can also send hearts so Fanboy and Doobie feel extra loved
we love hearts, especially the pink ones. So we've gotten in the habit of doing a morning editorial meeting Periscope and then an afternoon daily Disney news Periscope, Fanboy and I.
So if you want to spend 3 minutes of your day watching two Yahoos sit and talk Disney and then go, why did I watch that? Tune in.
So the morning one is usually somewhere around 9:30 Pacific. Whatever, daylight or standard, still 9:30. And the evening one's usually somewhere around 3 or 4, but there's always a tweet that goes out just before we start. So follow us on Twitter or follow us on Periscope. And
it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. We've had really good response, actually. Yeah. I mean, we always have decent numbers, and people seem to enjoy it.
It's steadily growing in viewership.
We're going to try to make it a little bit lighthearted. We tend to be really, really serious, and I think we need to inject some levity into it. What do you think, Fanboy?
I agree. It's not like the podcast where it's hardcore news.
I have a backstage Periscope story, by the way. Over the weekend, Fanboy and I went down to Burbank to see the Avengers, and Fanboy was going to do a video as soon as we got back in the room, talking about the film to our Periscope followers. And I also really had to use the restroom.
Nice.
I'd been a travel day, and so I said, first things first, I'm going to use the restroom. And
yes.
So all of a sudden I hear Fanboy outside the bathroom doing his thing.
Wow.
And realized I'm now stranded.
Nice.
Don't want to flush the toilet.
Nice.
Make any noise.
Way to go,
for
Fanboy.
The background. So anyone who may have been watching the watching Fanboy on the Periscope, just be advised that poor Alex was stuck being silent in the bathroom for about 5 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Waiting for it to end.
Thank you for waiting. I watched that Periscope on tape.
And now you know.
Okay, thanks for the editorial. Get back in bed. He's supposed to be in bed.
Yes.
It's night time.
So that was the Periscope that Fanboy did after he saw Avengers. We're probably going to start a pre-podcast Periscope. We didn't start today, but we'll probably start one soon. Just like a little, we're about to do the podcast. We're going to talk about this. It's really just an excuse to do what we do without the camera, but with the camera, so we get hearts.
Okay. Well, we're going to Celebration, Star Wars Celebration, the official Star Wars convention. So maybe there will be some Periscope videos.
That'll be fun.
From the event.
We had someone at the Disneyland Diamond Anniversary media event today. We get any Periscopes out of that?
Not yet. Well, for one thing, I know that they were restricted on cameras. It was like, now's camera time, now put away cameras.
Okay.
So.
It's not a camera, it's a Periscope.
Yeah, but, you know, I suspect that may have been
why.
Not
a literal.
I suspect that may be why they had the no camera, now camera. Can you imagine how that Kelsey Grammer moment would have gone now with Periscope?
It would have been awesome.
It would have been fun.
It would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So we got lots to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Ultron?
We can talk about it. We can't review it.
Okay. Tell me all about the movie, including spoilers, but don't review it.
But don't give any opinion.
No spoilers.
So Fanboy and Alex had the opportunity to see Age of Ultron, the latest in the series of Marvel films, and they can't review it because it's embargoed.
Mm-mm.
But what did you think?
I hate it when my embargo is lighting up.
I think I like it a lot.
Can you put it in relative terms, or is that too much of a review?
I like it better than Marvel's The Avengers.
Did you like that one?
I loved that one.
I'm so excited. How about you, Fanboy?
It's a great movie. It's different. Very different. It's not like an art piece, but it's...
Different tonally?
Very different tonally.
Yes.
Still fits.
One was very, very light.
Yes, this one's not
as light.
It still has humor, but it's not as light.
Okay.
There are some hilarious moments in this one.
I'm so excited.
And the first word is epic. The first word is quote-unquote epic, but the first word is an epic
Literally thing. The first word they say is epic?
It's pretty jaw-dropping. When you see it.
Cool. It can't be a spoiler to say it because it's the very first word.
No, it is.
I'm not going to say it.
We can't say it on the podcast.
Oh. Okay.
It's hilarious.
All right.
It's like when Iron Man 3 began with blue.
If
everyone in the theater is like, what movie did I just come into? One hit wonder from... Eiffel Tower 98.
Yeah.
Epcot
94.
Eiffel 5 or something.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
We will talk much more about Ultron in the coming weeks, as we're allowed to. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
We
also saw the press conference.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think what came out of that. Not a heck of a lot from the press conference, but...
We got a picture. Check out our Twitter and Facebook for the picture.
We got to be spitting distance between LaughingPlaces.com, Man of the Year, Kevin Feige.
Basically, what Fanboy is trying to say is he was about to spit on Kevin Feige when they wrapped up the press conference.
Did you have the opportunity to present him with his Man of the Year plaque?
No.
He didn't.
Aww.
Sadly.
I care more about Kevin Feige than I care about Robert Downey Jr.
Do you think Kevin Feige has any idea he's the Laughing Place Man of the Year?
No.
That's a bummer.
I don't know if Kevin Feige even...
He follows us on Twitter.
We should at least tweet him.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if he follows us, we can DM him.
Yeah. He used to follow us on Twitter.
At least let him know via Twitter that he was named the LP Man.
Do you remember when they used to... When ESPN's Greeny would talk about Chad Pennington?
Yeah.
That's how I feel when you guys talk about Kid Feige. I feel that song should play. And I will.
Well, at least
isn't that what they used to play all the time when Greeny would talk about Pennington?
Absolutely. Which version?
I will always love you.
Whitney or Dolly?
Whitney.
Oh. The version.
The Whitney. No, you're wrong on that being the version.
That may be a cultural thing.
No,
that Whitney is the version.
No, Whitney is not the version.
That is like the number one selling song of all time. Therefore, it becomes the version.
However, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It sold more than Over the Rainbow?
It doesn't,
there is no way that is the number one selling song of all time.
It doesn't matter if the other one existed for decades.
Alexa?
Look, Bodyguard's number one album.
Because Over the Rainbow was named Song of the Millennium.
Alexa, play I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston.
Oh, I thought you were going to see what version she chose.
I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston from Prime Music.
Takes forever for the song to start. Alexa. That alone. No, that is the biggest reason this is not the version. It's 20 minutes till the song starts.
She's singing to Kevin Costner.
So?
I just love the way her bottom...
Dolly Parton was singing to some guy I never heard of.
I think I'm going to cry.
Why?
This is so beautiful.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty song.
I love this.
Really?
Movie wasn't that good.
Dolly's version is very sweet.
Alexa,
too.
What is the number one movie of...
Don't interrupt this song.
No! I had to live with a roommate who was a Whitney Houston wannabe, and she sang this song every morning.
You'd hear her. And every night, would you say, oh, I want to dance.
No, no, she was...
Oh, no.
Now, thankfully...
this is Whitney's only good song.
Thankfully, she had a good voice, but after a while, you get really
tired of
it. The cocaine
started taking it.
You know what I learned recently? When Whitney Houston is singing Saving All My Love for You, she's singing about having an affair.
Uh-oh.
No idea.
Wow.
Anyway.
She seemed like...
It hasn't even started yet.
She doesn't want to stop. Stop.
In the name of love.
Anyway,
it's a musical.
This is a Disney podcast. Cut out the whole first 12 minutes. If you're still listening, let's move on to another Disney topic. Unless you had something
Disneyland?
About the press conference. Well, I was going to stay with Marvel for a moment.
Okay, fine.
Because the greatest Marvel property that will be released this year is now being viewed by me.
Daredevil.
And it's not Ultron. And
Daredevil.
And it is.
Daredevil.
Netflix's Daredevil.
I haven't watched yet.
Awesome.
Can you give me I haven't seen it because I was
busy
with other Marvel, because that's what we're becoming a Marvel site.
You can do that.
What's the general synopsis? Like, what's the
thrust? I've been through 2.5 episodes. The general synopsis is this guy.
Can't see.
Yeah. He is a lawyer, and it's from the start. I guess it's an origin story, but only through flashbacks, so I can, you know, without spoiling, say he's blind and his other senses are enhanced. And
he goes to town.
It takes place in New York after the incident in New York. It's the same MCU. And
that's really cool, because it's totally different.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And Hell's Kitchen is in the process of being rebuilt, and there is corruption afoot that he is learning of and getting involved in for various reasons, and is now in the process of fixing.
Mm. You know who he should call?
It's a much smaller story. You know, we're not talking the whole universe. We're talking
this little section
Hell's
of
Kitchen,
New York.
But it is so well done.
Commissioner Gordon?
No, they should call that. If there's corruption and he's the order part, he should call the law part and get that guy from Law and Order Criminal Intent to investigate.
That's a good idea. I think he might. He hasn't shown up yet, actually, through my 2.5
hours. Really?
I think he's coming, because I've seen reports.
What actor?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, seriously? Oh, he's supposed to be in
he's
this?
The villain, right?
Did he lose any weight?
Kingpin. No. He gained weight.
Yeah, he's been getting bigger and bigger.
I did not recognize him. I just heard that.
Wow.
So maybe he has been on it. I just didn't notice. But it feels a lot like Dark Knight.
He looks just like Ving Rhames.
That's what I keep
hearing. It has the same feel, the same tone as Dark Knight, which is completely different than the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Really, really good.
TVMA.
Not as MA as I expected. First of all, I heard there was like more profanity. I expected there to be quite a bit of profanity based on review. I think each episode has less than an Avengers. I mean, and then the violence, it has some gore, but it's like CSI gore.
Aller Tipper.
It's like CSI gore. It's not in the context of violence occurring. It's like the aftermath. And so it doesn't feel as bad when you see him, you know, putting stitches on someone as opposed to seeing the wound inflicted. So in that respect, it's not as bad as I expected. And maybe there's, you know, I've got 11 and a half episodes to go, but it's awesome. The end of the second episode, I heard it was great. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was going to be some kind of twist or something. Cause I saw a tweet that was like, whoa, the end of episode two. But no, it's just the way they staged it. It's just incredible.
Wow.
You sense it starting up, and you're like, hey, this is what's going on. It's really cool. And
it pays off.
It's awesome.
Cool.
Watch the show, Daredevil. And then, if you have time, go see that little movie.
Did you hear about the snafu they had with Daredevil?
No.
So Netflix today announced that they decided it might be a good idea to release that show with descriptive audio. Because they did not originally plan on that.
That's a good idea,
yeah.
Huh?
Wow.
So they had to put out a press release saying it's coming. Or
wow.
Really. Although,
that's just
you would never know he's going. His other senses are so good that that's like a non-factor in the whole show. Mm. The fact that he's blind. So far, 2.5 episodes. Let's go.
Cool.
He can turn off the lights and still be cool.
13 50-minute episodes. That's so much better than like 8 42-minute episodes, which is what the typical miniseries is now.
Like the one I showed you the preview for last night, and
that
got
cool.
Scary.
I got scared. Yeah,
that's so funny.
Maybe that's why I had a fitful sleep. I told you what you had to do to help me out. Not that. No,
okay. Moving on.
Disneyland Diamond Disneyland. Celebration.
So yeah. Disneyland turned 60 today?
No, not today. That's just this is the teaser.
Oh, this was the big media event for the 60th
when they
launch.
Showed you the 28 buckets that they're going to release for the. Did you see
media.
All the different?
I didn't see the 28 buckets.
No. Oh man,
there's 28 different. Popcorn.
No, I'm joking. There's going to be what? There's going to be like
cupcakes.
There's going to be three different balloon colors at least that I saw,
that.
And then there's going to be a mine car bucket, mm-hmm. And then there's going to be the thematic bucket that's the Mickey and Minnie paper cut imagery, and then there was one other one, but I can't remember what it is. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
I definitely want the three balloon buckets. I'll probably hunt those down over the.
Oh, and then there's going to be light up sippers that apparently are going to sync with World of Color.
Shocking. I'm mostly excited about the return of the Year of a Million Dreams.
That is exciting.
Oh, is that coming
Disney
back?
Disney Diamond Days.
They're going to be doing giveaways, and included in the giveaways is night stays at the Dream Suite.
Tarzan's Treehouse.
Diamonds with like Disney D's etched in them or something. Mm-hmm. Which I'm curious, you know, is it like a little teeny?
It's
tiny
one
diamond?
Carat.
Okay,
one and two carats.
One and two carats. And if you get a one carat, you get the Dream Suite with it.
Right.
But if you get the two carat, you got a two carat diamond. That. So screw you, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a glass slipper with some kind of like celebratory accoutrements. What else was there?
No, those are all the
tours.
Buckets. There weren't any other buckets.
Oh, okay. Private tours. What else?
Special parties, hard ticket parties.
Oh, yeah. Like one of them was like you get Fantasyland all to yourself for you and your guests.
Oh, very nice.
And that's always been a dream of mine.
Maybe I go to Disneyland irregularly, I'll actually win something this time. Unlike the Year of a Million Dreams where I spent an average of 20 hours in the park for a year and never won a thing.
Never got a thing.
Never got
that's
a thing.
Funny. I got stuff.
I didn't get a single thing in Disney World where I lived and went often, but the one time I came to Disneyland during the Year of a Million Dreams, I was offered
awesome.
Your hats and the fast passes.
That's
my
awesome.
Favorite part of Year of a Million Dreams is it resulted in the most intense mathematical discussion I've ever had on the internet over whether or not a person in a wheelchair who can't go on certain rides is at a disadvantage for winning a dream.
No.
You can win a dream sitting on a park bench, so.
But because they can't go someplace.
Assuming.
Where dreams are given out, are they therefore at a disadvantage?
No. Sometimes it was an action you had to do, like sip a glass of Dasani water and then you get whatever.
But no, because as long as they're functioning, as long as they're in the park for the same amount of time.
Some people wanted to say, no, because if they're giving it out on pirates and you can't ride pirates, then you can't win. Therefore, you had a distant advantage.
Yeah, but if they...
I realized that. I was on the right side of that. Okay. But I'm telling you what I had to fight against.
Like I say, all I know is I spent an average of 20 hours a week in a Disney theme park during the Year of a Million Dreams. Got nothing. 2 days after McDonald's announces their Lovin' campaign, I walk in and got a free meal for just telling Gideon, I love you. I gave Gideon, they said, oh, you've won. Gideon freaked out, so funny. They're like, I wanted to order something and I was going to change my mind. And they're like, no, go ahead. And I'm like, well, but the coffee's extra. She's like, no, go ahead. Just, it's okay. We'll figure it out. And I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and get the coffee.
We'll work something out. Come on. Get the added coffee.
She was like, no, it just, you know,
you owe me your time.
I just figured it was one of those things where she could hit a button and they could substitute it without it being an additional charge or whatever.
The other way it worked.
And then they hit the button and they said, you've won. And Gideon was like, what's going on? And she's like, you just have to give your son a hug, a kiss, and tell him you love him. And so I picked him up, gave him a hug, a kiss, told him I loved him, and the whole place started.
You're not my mommy.
Everybody started cheering. It was very cute and sweet.
And this was in New York, right?
Yeah, it was. Right across the street from Grand Central Station. Across the
Did you
block.
See Daredevil?
Are people that don't love at a disadvantage?
Yes.
I work in an open air atrium with a waiting area above.
Do you really?
Open air.
I never pictured that.
The other day.
I pictured you working in like this little tiny alcove.
No.
You work in an open air atrium?
That's
You've
nice.
You've never been to his work?
What happens when it rains?
No, I don't mean there's a roof, but there's a second level and you can see over and down.
Dude.
And so anyway, the other day I'm sitting at my desk and one like yellow balloon comes falling down and I looked up waiting for the rest of them and like the people with the big check.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like
this
is the moment. It's coming.
Ed McMahon.
So what was it?
It was just a little kid that accidentally bopped their balloon over the rail.
Awesome.
But I was waiting. I was like, this is it. It's really happening. Publisher's Clearing House is coming in right now.
You weren't with me that time that housekeeping gave us the balloon, were you? You weren't with us, were you, when the housekeeping gave him the balloon?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We didn't ever get Year of a Million Dreams, but one time we were at the Contemporary, and housekeeping saw us. Gideon and I were eating lunch at the little, grab and go, and housekeeping waves at us and we wave back and motions to us to come over to where he is and tied three or four weights to a balloon to a Mickey balloon and let it go, and so it floated from the fifth floor, whatever that level was, down to us. And so we got to, so I'm guessing somebody couldn't take it home on the plane or whatever.
That's
at the end
cool.
of their trip, and so he gave it to the Gideon.
And the housekeeping manager came out.
I just now
well,
it's
no,
my mission in life to go get a balloon, go to the top floor of the Contemporary and drop it down into the atrium
well,
over the monorail track.
Well, no, that was one of those things where I thought, oh, that's really sweet. And I was like, I thought about, writing a little thank you, and I thought, oh, you know what? That's probably one of those things that technically probably shouldn't be doing, dropping things off the side. So I'll just keep that. But that's a little magical
very sweet
moment.
Thank you, card. Yeah. Got somebody
exactly. So I'll just keep that between us.
Sorry, Rosario.
Yeah, so it's one of those moments. Rosario would not be a man, but that's okay. Oh, I wouldn't think, right?
I was going with
no, maybe I guess it
Rosario
might be.
Rosario is the famous housekeeper,
yes.
Will and Grace.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, but yeah, that's just funny.
Gay or married?
Gay.
Okay.
He can never remember the difference between Dharma and Greg and Will and Grace, so he always has to ask.
Gotcha.
Okay, go ahead. What's next? oh, that's true. That's funny.
Oh, times have changed.
Yeah.
Disneyland, anything more? Oh, they showed off the
new Mickey Minnie outfits.
Yeah.
Which
including, here's the breaking news. They talk. They're articulated.
So here was my.
Oh, is that new for Disneyland?
No, but someone tweeted as if it was.
Oh, really? Oh, that's sweet.
What I thought was funny was,
it's always
we saw
nice
the,
new to me.
We saw the new outfits, and I like them. They're very different from the Year of a Million Dreams ones.
They have a red accent to
them. Yeah, mostly red, and I kind of expected them to be mostly blues and silvers, but that was Year of a Million Dreams.
Yeah,
so they,
but this was nice. Kind of jewel toned.
The next picture I saw was like a spread of merchandise items that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And the plush Mickey and Minnie for the Diamond Celebration are in basically the Year of a Million Dreams outfit. So I think it's weird that they've got these new walk around characters, like these new costumes for the characters to wear.
But they weren't reflected
they
in the plush that were displayed.
That is very odd.
Yeah.
Which was. For the Year of a Million Dreams, they had that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could buy the little Beanie Baby size version of all of them. Plus, I think even like Daisy and Chip and Dale were in that, and they never even appeared in the park in those costumes that I saw.
But I like that they're offering new lower end too. Like the instead of the cozy cone sippers, they're gonna have oil cans. Mm-hmm. Things, you know, so it's not only the big ticket mm-hmm. stuff that's gonna be unique to the celebration. So it'll be fun.
And then they previewed the parade. Paint the Night parade.
Yeah.
Well, they made the announcement too that Frozen's involved, and that's going to be the highest point in the parade.
Yep. Highest point,
like what? That tallest part. And then they announced some of the songs too. I was surprised. When Can I See You Again? From
I love that song.
The clip that they released of the Spectral Men and Big Mac was that song, right?
Yeah. I love that song.
Did you see the clip?
No, see
the video only.
The artwork on the bucket. Mm-hmm. It's that doesn't have the red accents.
Oh yeah, that is weird. Yeah, they're
it
in
has
there.
A year it of has million just dreams kind of
Year of a Million Dreams outfits. Yeah,
which is
thinking the red accents came very late in the game.
I'm wondering if at some point during this we'll see the Year of a Million Dreams costumes paraded out again.
Yeah,
just because they look so diamond like.
When was that? 10 years ago?
No.
What celebration was that?
It was 2007 because that's when I started with Disney World.
And there were lots of foods that are fruity infused drinks and cupcakes and whatnot.
Seemed to be
what was kind of on the docket. Lots of mango teas and lemonade slushies and things
chili
like this.
Chili is coming back to the park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, finally! I can't tell you
how bland that chili is.
You know what I used to enjoy getting was buffalo chili when they used to have the state fair. Man, wish they'd bring that back.
I mean, the
buffalo chili.
I've made Walt's chili several times now. I like it.
Is that going to be your Disney and a Disney movie for?
If I ever run out of something, it's a Walt era film.
Like a special day, like November, December 5th.
Yeah.
November 18th, you can have like fondue.
That's true.
Chocolate fondue, just
to make no sense.
That's being saved for one particular film.
Really?
No, I don't know if I'll actually use that when I get around to Frozen. But
and by the way, we had an idea for our Periscope costume for me. I'm going to wear a brown hat and get a plush bluebird.
You do that?
No. Oh, can we talk about Dancing with the Stars Disney Night?
Are we done with Disneyland?
Yeah, I think so. There wasn't really anything else, was there?
Well, just the parade.
We talked about
just the entertainment opera.
Oh, and the fireworks. They hyped the fireworks. They said it's going to be even grander than the 50th fireworks, which were uber grand.
And they announced that Dick Van Dyke is re-singing bits of Step in Time, was it?
Yes.
For this. Yeah, so
re-singing.
Like singing
Step in Time.
Which
Step in Time.
Isn't that uncommon? Like they had Jodie Benson re-sing part of Your World for World of Color. Because they wanted like a segue at the end that would lead into another song, and
they said that to kick it off, Main Street will go back to being an orange grove.
Oh yeah, that'll be neat with the projections.
Yeah, that's just gonna be incredible.
When I first came to this land, it was oranges, far as the eye can see.
Are they gonna pump in orange smell too?
Oh, that
wouldn't that be fun?
And hidden Ron Dominguez.
That'd be awesome. They'll actually have trees. They'll have a door for the little man of Disneyland.
Yeah.
There'll also be the orange bird will be hidden in there, and then if you look really closely in
the background, that would be awesome.
It's what's her name?
Anita Bryant.
Anita Bryant being chased out of town by the Anaheim Gays.
I think Anita Bryant and never mind. Helen Reddy.
You get those confused?
No. There are three people who are so proud of their Disney history: Anita Bryant, Helen Reddy, and Michael K. Lee. They should be on a panel.
They would have nothing but wonderful things to say, along with Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Who was at the bottom of Marshall's definitive
Disney Nature list.
Disney Nature.
Which I would
seriously?
I would agree. It wasn't Secret of the Wings. What was it called? Wings of something?
Bugs, I believe.
Crimson Wing?
Crimson Wing is
the pinnacle.
The one about the bugs.
It's near the pinnacle.
Winged Beauty or
something.
Wing Nike?
It was the one that was about
Secret of the Wings.
It was
that the Tinkerbell.
That's the Tinkerbell movie. It was the Disney Nature film that is basically flower and
Hidden
insect
Beauty.
Porn.
Yes.
No, it's not called
Ew.
Hidden Beauty.
No.
I'm about to tell you, so just keep talking.
Okay. So
Wings of Life.
So that's Marshall's.
It sounds like what you do when you like need
this was,
to really get someone to a hospital quickly.
This was the most boring of the Disney. This is the most boring of the Disney nature films.
Have you seen Monkey Kingdom?
Nice. We saw Monkey Kingdom on Sunday. It is very fun.
It sounds like it should be fun.
He has not seen it.
He hasn't seen it yet. So no. I personally place Monkey Kingdom number one above Crimson Wing, which is my number two.
Wow.
Crimson Wing is his number six.
Yeah, he doesn't view Crimson Wing as high as I do.
Younger.
Yeah, I do really love Crimson Wing.
Their attention spans are shorter.
Sorry, Marshall.
I love you, Marshall, but... Right.
What did you say?
I heard Crimson Wing has some serious violence.
It has some serious peril.
It is really
in it.
Intense.
It is. But it's gripping.
But not in a
and
lion tearing something apart kind of way.
In the end of Crimson Wing, too, you just, you know.
Yes.
It feels like you went on a powerful journey.
Yes.
And I love Crimson Wing.
Yes.
So Monkey Kingdom.
Just like our podcast.
Yeah. Monkey Kingdom is kind of similar. So I describe Monkey Kingdom as Cinderella with monkeys.
And nudity.
Oh, how cute.
And nudity. Monkey nudity. So these monkeys, they're macaque monkeys, and they have
because of their claws?
Very funny.
No, because of their paws. They have a social hierarchy that's just somehow understood.
Okay.
And so there's some red-faced, ugly sisters that are basically born into royalty.
Okay.
No matter what, these sisters are like the highest females ranking in the society. And then there's one alpha male who's basically king who is their shared partner.
Raja.
And so these monkeys all sleep in this tree, and they sleep in order of their rank. And
oh, wow.
So the highest ranking monkeys are up at the top where it's warm, and then the lowest ranking monkeys are on the bottom branch, cold and shivering and holding on to each other for warmth. And so the main monkey, Maya, is born on the bottom branch and stays that way, and normally would stay that way her whole life. And then one day she's courted by a stray monkey who just happens to come by, and
how
she
fun.
Goes off to him, off with him. He gets ousted from the kingdom, and so she ends up raising their baby all on her own. And so they, you know, they go through all the perils that she has without a male to protect her and the baby, even from the other monkies, because they view this baby
spoilers,
as garbage. You know,
I'm gonna watch this.
Spoilers for nature.
Yeah, you want me to stop?
Don't be too. I want to go on the journey with the monkeys, okay. So don't.
So I mean,
so
it's
don't,
just.
Tell it's me the Wikipedia. Whole story.
Yeah. It's a really...
Well, no, I'm not going to.
It's a really good film. Makes you feel great. Tina Fey does the narration. She's really good. She has a really great balance between being funny and being serious.
Mm-hmm.
And she just does it very well. And then also just the nature of these monkeys makes for some truly hilarious moments.
Oh, cool.
I've laughed harder at this one than any of the previous ones.
Oh, that's
more
nice.
More humans in it than I expected.
There's
more
humans?
More humans. There are humans in this one.
Humans in this
No. This one takes place in Sri Lanka, and so I do. There are because there's humans in it. There are some moments that I question if the filmmakers didn't intervene a little bit
gotcha.
Just to keep humans away from the monkeys,
right?
Because there's moments where you would expect if a you know store owner or mm-hmm. homeowner saw the monkeys that they would object to
and
them.
A camera crew.
Yeah,
right.
and a camera crew coming into their kitchen or filming outside the store. So there's
right.
moments like that where you're kind of like, they probably told the people to just go with it and let the monkeys do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably paid them off or bought them a TV and we'll send them a Blu-ray when it's out. But other than that, I mean, it was really good. I loved Monkey Kingdom.
And that comes out Memorial
this Friday.
Day this year?
No, this Friday.
Oh, Earth Day.
Yeah, Earth Day.
Okay.
And so every
Friday
ticket purchased during opening weekend, they're donating money to Conservation International,
mm-hmm.
which is an organization that protects wild animal preservations. And so the money for this film will go to protect macaque monkeys and other similar creatures around the world.
And then Disney Store is doing their usual recyclable bag promotion, and it's going to be Monkey Kingdom bags.
Oh, nice.
And DCA is having an Environmentality Day.
Oh, I miss Environmentality Day.
What's funny is macaque monkeys are not the most adorable
mm-hmm.
of the monkeys out there. So the plushes that they have of Maya and her son Kip look absolutely nothing like
oh, how
the
funny.
Actual monkeys.
That's awesome.
And then when
they
I was
great plush for Disney nature movies.
They do. They started it with bears,
mm-hmm.
and they sold really well. Maya and Scout and Amber.
Bears was the last
What's wrong
one.
With
Bears
that?
Was the last one.
There's
and
nothing
so,
wrong about
and they
that.
Donate.
Why?
They donate portions of the proceeds of
you
these.
You go to SeaWorld, you buy a little plush orca.
Well, and even at Animal Kingdom, they've got the yeah. Wildlife Conservation Fund.
I mean, it's not
plushes.
An animal skin; it's a plush.
Yeah,
but it's is it a generic macaw or is it these characters?
So They're labeled but they as don't Maya look like and it. Kip. They don't look anything like them. So they have these terrible bowl cut hairdos that just naturally form. And then they've got... There's just something about the face that's a little off-putting for macaque monkeys. But, I mean, you just care so much about their story. And so you fall in love with them very quickly, even though these are not, like, the cutest monkeys you've ever seen before. And what's really... There's...
Disney nature cockroaches.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a great deal of fun. I want to see it again. It's funny because we saw that in Avengers same weekend, and there's one movie that I can't stop thinking about, and that's Monkey Kingdom.
No, that's adorable.
You too, fanboy?
No.
Fanboy is completely different.
Did you enjoy Monkey Kingdom, though?
I enjoyed Monkey Kingdom. It's no Avengers Age of Ultron.
I didn't say it's Avengers Age of Ultron, but
It just leads up to the rest of Phase 2 of the Disney Nature Cinematic Universe.
Doesn't always stand on its own. It's just one of those prequels.
Oh, and so Fanboy had asked, what the next one was when we were there, and I didn't know, but I researched it. So the next one's filming right now in Shanghai, and it's called like Lost China or something like that.
It's called Construction of the Magic Kingdom.
So I'm wondering if it's going to focus on pandas. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. There's some plush opportunities.
Hopefully it does. But and they also have a really awesome sizzle reel for anyone out there who's gone to previous Disney Nature films and knows about how they donate every year for a different charity. They haven't really shown much of that yet, and so this is like a 3-minute thing that shows you the rainforest that was planted because of Earth.
Nice.
It shows you some of the benefits in the oceans because of people who saw oceans. And they show like the rangers helping out in some national parks for the money that was raised for bears.
Nice.
So it's nice to actually see your the ticket impact. Purchase in action. At the beginning, makes you feel good.
What was the charity for the Lemmings one?
Very funny. What other Disney news is out there?
Star Wars.
Oh, digital release.
Star Wars is available.
It is the Lucas edition, right?
So, yes. Okay. It is the most recent version of Star Wars, which I think was last edited in 2011 for the Blu-ray release.
Okay.
With new intro, right?
So, yes. So, the only change from the Blu-ray to the digital HD versions is all of the films, except for A New Hope, no longer have the 20th Century Fox fanfare opening. And in its place is a Lucasfilm intro that reuses some John Williams score from the end credits of A New Hope.
Okay.
I personally don't feel very strongly about it. I feel like it's a fanfare and it feels epic enough, and then there's that pause before, you know. And so to me, they've captured
it's
it
a
close
nice substitute
enough. It's a nice substitute, exactly. Mm. There's a bit of nostalgia missing just because you know these films are supposed to begin with the Fox drum roll and all that. But I don't personally get as upset about it as a lot of fans are. A lot of fans are really upset at this change. There's even like petitions online already. People are listing.
Who should be upset at? I mean, this is unavoidable, right?
So here's the
does
comparison
that really
argument. Is there's other films that Disney have purchased from other studios where they have not gone out of their way to remove their name from it.
Okay.
The main point is all of the Paramount films that were made from Marvel that Disney now owns 100% of. Even on like the iTunes version of Iron Man, I mean, they're probably not going to go repress the Blu-ray disc, but if you bought it digitally, they could have gone in and just truncated Paramount's name out of it, and they didn't.
Okay, fair enough, and I agree with the fans.
Why bother? And it'd also be like if Disney ended up with all the rights to Popeye and Dragon Slayer, I doubt they'd actually pay money to take their name off, but with these films, and I'm wondering
that one they might take the Disney name off.
Oh,
this is all about the fact that they just want to get people used to.
I think it's partially to wean you into what they're planning to use for future Star Wars films. I think there's probably also some politics involved because it seems like
Star Wars is best with politics
between Fox and Disney over these films. So Fox owns
the opinion of Senate.
Fox owns physical media rights to these films through 2020, with the exception of A New Hope, which they own forever. And so that means forever out, unless Disney ever offers enough money that Fox is willing to sell A New Hope to Disney completely. For the foreseeable future, any Star Wars box set has to have at least one disc in it pressed by Fox, or it will exclude that film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be selling a 5-film pack plus the new ones rather than the 6-film pack. And so they obviously were able to strike a deal where they could offer these films together on the same date in a discounted bundle for $89.99 through various e-tailers. But they were not able to get Fox to agree to let Disney use the film on their servers for Disney Movies Anywhere and link the service through. And I think part of that is because Fox is a founding member of Ultraviolet, which is basically the other version of Disney Movies Anywhere that's co-funded by Fox, Paramount, Universal. Mm. I think even Warner Brothers has a founding. Basically, every studio founded Ultraviolet, and Disney said no because they wanted to do their own, which was Disney Movies Anywhere. As a result, though, and I don't know if this is just because Fox is still working on it, A New Hope does not work with Ultraviolet right now. They have the title listed there, but like if you buy movies through Vudu, Vudu's a participant with Ultraviolet, so most of your eligible Vudu purchases end up in your Ultraviolet account, and A New Hope shows up in your Ultraviolet account if you buy it through Vudu, or I think even Google links to it, but you can't play it in Ultraviolet. So there's obviously a lot of politics going on there. Where
digital rights.
And I'm sure Fox said no. I'm sure
platform
Fox
interface.
Said if you can get your films on Ultraviolet, we'll give you this film on Disney Movies Anywhere. I'm sure that entered negotiations
ridiculous.
At some point.
Ridiculous. If ever it's there was fun. A place for government, it is to step in here and make sure I can get all my movies the right way easily. Because this is ridiculous.
Sure.
Anywho.
Okay.
Talk about problem. Why does this always happen to me?
I don't know.
That's such a great song.
Yeah, so the films are all available.
Hashtag Region 1 problems.
They're all so they're all available digitally. Worked really well for me last weekend when we were traveling. I watched Star Wars on the plane both ways.
Right.
Watched it on my laptop in the room while I was waiting for Fanboy.
Cool.
And then the other thing is they've done some really great new bonus features. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of them, and it bounced to 66 minutes. So if... You,
all total?
If, oh. All total.
Oh, okay.
66, so if, is that coincidence?
I don't know. So if $89...
Order 66, Killed the Jedi. Have you seen episode 3?
Nerd.
Mm-hmm. So if...
Nerd alert!
Nerd alert! So if,
said the guy hosting a Disney podcast.
If $89 is worth it to you to own these films in a digital format that you can take wherever you go, plus get 66 minutes of new bonus features, plus hours and hours of recycled bonus features from previous versions of Star Wars, then I recommend it.
That's actually quite a... I mean, if you own it already, it's not. But that's quite a bargain.
If you don't already own it... Well, here's the comparative. The Blu-ray set right now on Amazon is priced at, I think, just like $3 less than the digital set. However, various times of the year, that Blu-ray set goes down to as cheap as $60.
But you know what's annoying about a Blu-ray set?
Hmm.
You have to put that disc inside the player and talk about inconvenient.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
First world problems. Mm-hmm. The films do look better on Blu-ray, if I want to get really technical. But, yeah, I mean, it's convenient to have Star Wars and to be able to take it with you anywhere. I was able to download them through Disney Movies Anywhere on my iPad and watch them on the plane ride. I downloaded the iTunes copies onto my laptop and watched those in the hotel room. So that was nice that, you know, I can...
Yeah, I couldn't do that on a...
I could take my six films with
Blu-ray.
Me. Well, you could have a Blu-ray drive, but...
On the plane, in your hotel room? What mm-hmm. a pain. You got to hook it up to a television.
I did, with an HDMI cable.
Talk about problems.
I brought my Apple TV, but I left the remote at home, and you can't pair it to the internet.
Didn't we do
without...
that once? We brought a Roku, but left the remote, and there was nothing we could do.
It was frustrating.
That was frustrating.
But thankfully, because I brought the Apple TV, I brought an HDMI cable, and my laptop has an HDMI port, so I did that. Worked out well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
What else we got?
I want to see Age of Ultron again.
Yeah,
fanboys. Yeah, so what's interesting is, well, I was surprised by this. So we saw it on the studio lot. We did not get to see it in 3D.
That is interesting.
And so now I'm just really curious to see it in 3D. Aspect ratio nerds out there, if any of you are listening to us. The first Avengers was done in like standard widescreen ratio, like 1.85:1. Because Joss Whedon said that was, you know, what he felt was the best ratio to film all these characters in. So I was surprised that this one is in CinemaScope. But this one's also made for IMAX, and oftentimes with IMAX films, they expand either, you know, big scenes, or sometimes even the whole film is, you know, basically standard widescreen rather than CinemaScope. So I'm curious to see if they filmed it that way and just did scope for regular screens and expanded.
I don't think
for...
So.
You don't think so?
I think they're doing that for Captain America... Civil War, but they're not doing it for this one.
It drives me crazy, like when you get the home video version and it keeps bouncing back and forth between aspect ratios because they want to give you like the most complete version.
Right.
And at that point I'm just like, just pick one and stick with it. But
I saw the Ant-Man trailer in 3D.
Ooh.
You saw the Ant-Man trailer?
Mm-hmm. In Disney Digital 3D.
Did that help you see the Ant-Man better?
Yeah, it helped because he was... It actually looked really good.
I watched it on a really small screen, my cell phone, on a break at work. But I was impressed with it. I'm curious to see how it pans out because Ant-Man is the final film of Phase 2. And so, you know, everything so far, with the exception of Guardians, kind of led very neatly into Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. And it feels like Age of Ultron kind of wraps Phase 2 up. And so I'm just curious to see what's left to explore in Ant-Man.
Well, I think they kind of, I think when at the press conference, Kevin Feige said it's really not so much that Ant-Man ends Phase 2, but as much that Captain America Civil War starts Phase 3.
Okay.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah, so it's so through my dinner at a Disney movie endeavor, I watched all of Phase 1 in mostly one sitting. And then I've been watching Phase 2 over the weeknights. And it's interesting because Phase 1 tells, you know, kind of a complete, very well-connected story. Mm-hmm. And then Phase 2, when you watch it all together, it's kind of like, it's very hodgepodge. It's everyone dealing with the aftermath of Phase 1 individually. And then there's the Guardians out in space who have no concept of anything that happened in Phase 1. And then there's Age of Ultron that, you know, brings everybody back together. But it's not as cohesive as Phase 1.
Which is weird, because they certainly knew from the start where they were going with this one.
So I'm curious to see. Phase 3 sounds like it is much more connected again, like Phase 1 was.
Yeah, it sounds like when they did Phase 2, from what I've read and heard from Kevin, is
Feige.
BFFs.
Kev.
At Kev Feige.
KF.
Is that I get the sense that they made Avengers, and they were so focused on Avengers, and then they kind of were like, oh, we need to make Iron Man 3, and so they started working on Iron Man 3, and they didn't really think of Avenger, where they were going to with Age of Ultron until they were kind of halfway done through Phase 2.
Okay.
And so I think that's why you don't really see it leading up to Phase 2 as much, because there's really, I mean, ever since, I guess, Captain America the Winter Soldier, they've been leading up to Infinity War.
Yeah.
But Age of Ultron kind of comes out of nowhere.
Have you now been... No, go ahead.
Does Infinity War have anything to do with the Infinity Stones?
Yes.
Okay.
About the Rolling Stones?
Yes, they're doing the soundtrack.
Okay.
Wherever he laid, that's where his home. And when he died...
Did he leave him alone, or like alone as in dead?
We'll find out. Sorry, continue.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I think we're actually done.
Have you been reading any more of the Star Wars Marvel comics? I haven't gotten around to it yet.
No, I haven't. I'm very behind on my comic reading.
Yeah, me too.
You know what's funny? There's a comic out there, and it's not a new one. I don't think it's Marvel either, but I didn't know this existed. But I guess somebody had done a graphic novel of George Lucas's original, like, you know, scribble treatment
for Star Wars.
The Star Wars. Have you read it?
No.
So they talked about it in the bonus features, and I guess it reads much more like Episode 1 than A New Hope, which is kind of
a lot more politics.
That just goes to show.
Yeah. Okay. So when the man says this was his vision, this was his vision.
Hey, let's just be thankful that somehow, some way, we got Episodes 4, 5, and 6 out of the sky. Maybe that was the fluke.
Maybe.
Dancing with the Stars.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wanted to segue into that earlier when you mentioned
Disney Night.
Something about racist. Overall, it was great. I don't watch Dancing with the Stars regularly, but I do like to watch Disney
but
Night
when
whenever
I do.
They do it. But when I do, it's Disney Night.
Which actually, I guess, had a ratings bump.
It does, typically, from what I understand.
You know, it's this clash of, like, overly cheesy attempts to be Disney and then some really awesome dance numbers. And there were some great ones.
Low-cut dresses.
Very risque dresses. So,
not as risque as they normally are.
Yeah.
I will say.
In the beginning number, when they're doing, they did, like, a montage. They started with, like, It's a Small World.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, two lady dancers come down the stairs and it's zippity doo-dah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Fanboy, I was like, there's no black dancers. This is racist. Then the only black gentleman, like, in the shot comes and stands in between and is like the Uncle Remus, and I'm like, that's racist.
I have to admit, my eyes did get a little bit bigger when that moment happened. I was like, really? Somebody didn't think maybe that staging for that song might not be the best option given the demographics of the show. But yeah, it was funny. The same notion crossed my mind. Was like, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. No, but overall, I really liked it. Even like the less entertaining numbers. One of them was Susan Sarandon or Suzanne Summers doing "He's a Tramp."
Thy Master Fame.
Yes, doing
Knock on My Door.
Doing "He's a Tramp," but what?
It was the best that she's done so far, though. I will tell you.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But what I really liked was just the little subtle nods, like they were, you know, just in black dresses. But or she was in a black dress, he was in a black suit. But her eyeshadow, if you paid close attention, was purple and kind of overdone, like Peg, which I thought was really a nice, a cute little nod.
And then they trashed up Mary Poppins' red outfit Steps in Time.
That was bizarre.
For the Steps in Time number.
Also, I couldn't figure out if she was wearing pants or like really like a weird skirt, because she would. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, they're like like a palazzo cut.
And then I couldn't place where that guy was from either. And then
Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm. I was like, he seems so nice on this show.
He's nice on Shark Tank. He's the nice one.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not like Mr. Wonderful.
You always see all of the guys team up against whichever girl happens to be on that week, and so that's where I just feel like
because girls don't know business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
great.
Where I just feel like he's I guess my opinion of him and really all the men on the show is a little bit misogynistic.
Oh, okay.
Just because I always see them team up against girls. Now, I don't watch Weekly.
I was going to say, you miss a lot where they, because he works together. He teams a lot with Lori.
Okay.
And then Cuban and Mr. Wonderful don't tend to team with anybody. So I don't think it's anything to do with the women. They just don't team.
Yeah.
Robert and Damon, I have seen team with the females, and the women really don't team with each other.
Yeah.
So
speaking of misogynistic, I saw Barbara in a bikini.
Yes, you did.
Barbara.
One Corcoran. Of the women on the older woman on Shark Tank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you see that at?
When we were on a cruise, she was on a Disney cruise with us.
I thought you like Googled this.
No,
I was like, this is getting a little.
No.
Anyway.
Although the images on there, and Google throws it for me.
Okay.
No, kidding, kidding, kidding.
So
it was funny because I remember you wanted to meet her. And you were kind of weren't sure if you should go over because she was with her kid, her grandkids, and she was wearing a bikini. And you're like, this seems really casual. I don't know if I should say hi. Or
I did, didn't I?
Yeah, but I think you wouldn't take a picture with. You decided you weren't going to ask for a picture with her. Right? No, that's what I'm saying. You decided to be appropriate. Not
so you just
like,
stood off to the side and took pictures of her.
No, not at all.
So yeah, but overall, I really liked
video.
I really liked the dances.
The representation costume. It was fun at the beginning to see the different teams come out in costumes and pick which we love. Oh, look, okay, there's going to be a Hercules number. There's going to be a Mary Poppins number. There's going to be a Lady and the Tramp number. Well, we weren't sure on that one, and then we were getting Aladdin,
Frozen,
and Little Mermaid. The only one I wasn't sure of was the Lady and the Tramp because it was just black sequins. I wonder what they're going to do. But the others were all pretty identifiable as they came out.
From R5 fame?
Yes.
As a Jack Sparrow
man crush?
Yeah.
I'm
really looking forward to seeing that. I haven't seen all
really
the show
good.
Yet.
I just love
the idea of Captain Jack as in a Paso Doble.
Yeah.
Which is a representation of the... of a bullfight.
Yeah, it was really well done. And he was throwing his partner like over his knee. It looked really intense. I was worried for her neck.
That's
but
so cool.
But it was so passionate and cool.
He
was a little weird because he stayed in character. Like even afterwards, he like, you know, accepted the criticism as
awesome.
Jack Sparrow.
I think you just do that though.
Yeah.
I think there's something about being in that wardrobe because my brother does that as a gig. He'll impersonate Captain Jack and
generic pirate.
No, he'll be Captain Jack Sparrow, and he's gone to various cosplay events, and he actually won grand prize at the El Capitan Theater.
Oh, nice.
For his
Captain
Jack. Did
he go to MegaCon last weekend or whatever?
I don't know if he went to MegaCon or not. And women love to slap him because of that scene in first film.
I think I deserve that.
So, and as soon as he gets in the outfit, it's like, it just takes him over.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just... falls into that. It seems so easy. Well, and it's such a lazy, fun character to be. So
yeah, they were definitely a highlight of the night.
Awesome.
I also really loved, I forget her name, Bruce Willis's daughter.
Rumor.
She did Poor Unfortunate Souls. And she was in, you know, like a full Ursula costume. The dress that she had was really cool. And then her partner, you know, was in this, like, shimmery leathery suit, but he painted himself green with like weird contacts, and he was trying to, like, you know, represent Flotsam Jetsam.
Oh, very neat.
It was really cool. They did a really great job.
She is the most talented, I think, of the dancers that are there this year,
and they got the highest score, I think.
Like, I would
technically
not be,
they were the best dancer
when,
of the
when
night.
You get a 10, it was on a Mickey paddle.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And didn't, you didn't start getting the Mickey paddles until the end.
Yeah, I didn't see that with the really Shark Tank.
Yeah. And then,
no.
What was the...
So you could always tell what the score was, because they were like, that, it was a little awkward to hold, because of the, like, get out of their thing.
The
so.
Other one that I really loved, that I didn't think I was going to like, was the girl from Hunger Games.
Yes.
And they
she's
did,
talented.
They did...
No.
The girl who plays her sister. But they did...
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, they, but it was the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland.
Very sweet.
And so it was the Danny Elfman, Alice, Where Have You Been song. And then her partner... dressed up as the White Rabbit with contacts, and one of his contacts comes out in the middle of it. But
awkward.
It was so cool, and they did really cool projection technology. Mm-hmm. So like they're shooting them from overhead, and they're, you know, spinning down the vortex tunnel down into Wonderland, and it was really impressive.
There is one odd moment. It's Buzz and Jessie.
Oh yes. So this is like an interstitial thing. It's not one of the main couples, but they're playing Ay Un Amigo en Mí, the Spanish version of You Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story 3. And so the CG, like, Buzz and Jessie are dancing on the side, but then the, like, you know, just side dancers
the
who are doing
Dancer
it.
Dancer with the Stars dancers.
They're very, very over-sexualized.
Oh, yeah,
Buzz
sure.
and Jessie.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Buzz didn't have a shirt on, and
he had like
had,
he had,
like,
the tiniest little white coat with purple, like, shoulder
really?
Pads on. And then, yeah, it was...
I mean, they got Bullseye in there.
That's so awkward.
And he did that thing where he covers himself and walks off the side.
I wish you all could just see Alex that moment. And I wish I could have seen the scene action, because I can hear it.
It's one of my favorite moments from Toy Story 2.
Oh my!
When his saddle falls
really?
Off.
Really? See, it was funny because at the beginning, when the ladies came out at the beginning of the show, I told Jimmy, I'm glad to see that they've toned it down a little bit
since it's
Disney night. Maybe we don't need to have women who look like they have no clothes on, just sparkles.
Just,
you know,
just Jessie the Yodeling Cowgirl.
No, but I miss
naked
that.
Women as much as the next guy.
Just, well, hey, those outfits that Betty Taylor and the Can-Can Girls wore weren't exactly what they were. You know, bosomy.
Speaking of
Betty bosom
Taylor and the Can-Can Girl. So I know they renamed it to the Golden Horseshoe Review for the 50th. Are they going to rename it to the Diamond Jubilee for the 60th? Do you know?
I don't think so.
I think it's like a good idea.
They didn't rename nothing.
Okay. I didn't ask you.
Ax?
Wow. Now that he's a rapper, he's got a street cred.
Bling, bling.
Oh dear!
They have lots of bling bling for Disneyland.
So that was so Jubilee. That so it was a nice show. It seemed like fun.
Yeah, the
Disney night. So. Yeah, no, he was disappointed.
I haven't seen all of it yet. I mean, there's the Disney part, and then there's the dancing.
What's he talking about?
The dancing this week was not that good. I mean, the first two dances I saw.
Abysmal.
We're not good, but she hasn't been good. So
the Hercules one, you know, it was conceptually very neat, but executed it was. Not well done.
He has not been a strong dancer at all.
And I was surprised.
The one who's been amazing to me is Noah, the veteran, who has one arm and one leg missing, and yet somehow manages to dance magnificently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that you don't realize that he is missing a leg. I mean, you can realize that as he's dancing, but. The emotion.
Or does he dance with one leg?
He wears a prosthetic leg, but he does not wear a prosthetic arm.
And
which
then,
the man is the leader, and so the dances that they're doing for her to be interacting with him the way she does with him with just the single is amazing. He tried an arm, but he just couldn't do it because he doesn't use an arm.
Did they have the Shark Girl last year? Was that only the
no? That was Amazing,
that
Race.
Was just Amazing
but,
Race,
but. They have had an leg amputee a female. I don't recall her name.
Wasn't it What's Her Face's wife?
Oh, the one of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Yoko?
No,
John
the,
Lennon.
The one, the,
I mean,
John,
not John
no,
Lennon.
No, Paul.
Paul McCartney.
Paul's wife who...
Linda McCartney.
Who... Oh, no, no, but I don't think... It, I don't...
Heather Miles?
I was going to say, I think...
Paul McCartney's wife is not Linda McCartney, I'm pretty sure.
I don't recall...
You never know.
Charlie McCarthy?
Thank you so much for inviting me to this
no,
party.
No, that's Candace Bergen's... Who got Candace Bergen's inheritance?
Yes.
What?
I just learned that this week.
Charlie McCarthy or
no.
Edgar Bergen left more money to his dummy than he did to his daughter, Candace.
Yeah. Wow. Not sad.
But the dummy can't do anything with money.
Yes.
So what happened to that money?
I don't know what happened.
That sounds like a million dollar dime.
It's like the Aristocats.
Heather Mills.
And whose wife?
Is Paul McCartney's
current wife?
I don't follow all of it.
He married a woman with one leg.
I don't follow all of it.
Maybe she lost her leg after the wedding.
I don't know all the story here. I can look it up for all of you.
It's not that important to Disney. I'm just curious.
Inquiring minds.
I guess he has wings, so it doesn't really matter. Speaking of, you mentioned that they had like Mickey heads for the 10. Rebecca was telling me about some other very subtle Disney references.
Oh, dear me. Did you guys see Once Upon a Time?
Episode yet. No.
Can I spoil?
I saw the one with the Walt reference.
Can I spoil the over-the-top
sure.
references?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, sometimes nods are very sweet, you know, and it's like, for example, when it opened and there was the one where the episode opened, it was the Sleeping Beauty story, and there was a picnic and you saw the plates and there, you know, like a little hidden Mickey. Oh, that's sweet. This week, one of the scenes is in modern-day New York, and the guy is standing in front of an Aladdin Broadway bus poster.
Mm. Synergy.
And it was just a moment in time where I just went, huh? It was like, the show stopped being about the show. It took me out of the show for a moment. I mean, I guess in some ways it kind of was like, okay, this really is modern-day New York. But for whatever reason, for the moment, it just, boom, it took me totally out of the moment, and I just shook my head in disbelief. And there was another one.
I was surprised they had an Aladdin poster, and here's why. Now, this is a little too geeky, but supposedly this show took place before Frozen came out, and that's why they didn't know about Anna and Elsa, because the timeline of the show didn't, you know, it's still like 2011, 12 or something. Mm-hmm. And so, but Aladdin just opened, so.
Yeah.
Also, for any
fans
who watched
the best part about
in Wonderland, because Jafar was the villain.
Yeah, the best part about it was the shot opened very tight, so it was like waist up, and so you just saw the blue with it's that purple and yellow. Mm-hmm. So it's the silhouette. So you saw the purple and yellow kind of silhouette-y thing, and I go, I think that's the genie, and then they go broad shot. With the entire bus structure, him standing there, and the whole post, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, just in case you were wondering, yes, it's Aladdin. So
then a bunch of newsboys walk by.
It's like you expected it.
Going on a tour across America.
It was one of those
some
things.
Some guy in the corner holds up his little son dressed as Santa and goes, bye!
But it was just, like I say, it was one of those moments where
and
it went...
And then the Castle Lion King whimpers in the background crying because they're not coming.
It kind of punched me in the gut the way the Walt comment did. It just kind of took me out of the story.
And there's
for
a hidden Mickey, right?
It wasn't a hidden Mickey. It was a blatant.
Yeah, I miss the you know, like Mickey. Season one when, like, if you weren't really paying attention, you didn't notice it. But if you were an observatory, you noticed that there was a Tron lunchbox, you know? Things
yes,
like that.
Or the Pinocchio character was wearing a yellow hat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, that's kind of sweet. But no.
There's enough Mickey in it.
Hmm?
Mickey.
I'm surprised some little mouse hasn't run by. And been, oh, Mickey! You know, that'll be next. So he'll be sitting somewhere and he'll be talking to a mouse.
And here he blinks and talks now.
Actually, they'll probably call him Mortimer, because that's
like
what they would do on this show. They would call him Mortimer. They would not call him Mickey, because they would have to be really inside.
They call him Al.
Yes, they would.
That would be subtle.
I don't get it.
Didn't they trade Al
for
Al Michaels.
Yes,
gotcha.
For Oswald.
Yeah.
Wow, that's that was even over you. Fanboy.
Well,
it must be late.
Fanboy must be.
Must be late.
Mine elsewhere.
That's awesome. So what else is going on? Lou Holtz is leaving ESPN.
What?
Oh, did you not hear this?
No.
No, they've amicably parted ways.
I read it on your site.
Not that wasn't Lou Holtz. That was Bobby
Lou
Knight.
Holtz also.
Oh. Yeah, Lou Holtz as well. So end of an era.
Wow.
Leaving
so you
ESPN.
Went back to Notre Dame?
I
don't think so. What else is going on? ESPN Radio has very much been kind of making tweaks and changes to their simulcast
lineup
on ESPN. So there's much more First Take on ESPN than there has been in previous weeks,
Wait,
to my disappointment.
Cold Pizza anymore?
No, no, it is not called Cold Pizza anymore.
It was Jay Crawford.
He does SportsCenter.
Dana.
Yeah. Jacobson. And
She's
Woody
over
Page.
At CBS.
Welcome home.
And then there's what else is going on in the world of ABC landed the Bruce Jenner interview, and they've been hyping the heck out of that. So that's a win for their news division, I guess.
Is
if
that
you
really
call
come
that
under
news.
News division?
It's Diane Sawyer, so that's news division.
Wait, today I met someone who actually watches the Kardashians.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so they actually do exist. Let
they
me
do exist.
Try and think what else. Oh, and thanks to Brian Williams, ABC News is doing better.
Thank you, Brian Williams, for lying.
So that's been good.
We didn't mention, there was some other 60th news we forgot to mention.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's gotten into the Matterhorn?
Oh, yeah.
What's gotten into
Peter Pan's nursery?
That's a little disturbing. Are there any other attractions that they're enhancing?
And we
Haunted
know what's gotten into the
mansion.
Oh, okay.
Right. Finally. Can we stop talking about this now?
No, because now forevermore.
Next thing you know, they're going to change the name of Disney MGM Studios.
Forevermore, fans who've been here for a while will be telling new fans that he wasn't there for a very long time.
Yeah.
How funny if he doesn't work.
I really want them to bring back the night for the 60th.
That would be. Dude, that was actually scary.
That was
the one time
for him.
Did you ever do it when they did it for? No, because you didn't go to Mickey's Halloween treat back in the day.
I remember the night when the knight was actually there.
For real?
Yes.
Okay, I don't remember.
He scared the daylights out of the people I was with. She jumped into my lap. It scared her so bad.
This is a knight.
He would stand in the knocking hall.
Yeah.
And
so you know
how
you're back, you're kind of turned sideways. Then all of a sudden you would turn, and he would reach and he would touch. He would touch you or come very close to touching you, and so you could hear like every third car.
Wow.
Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah, they don't. That would not go over well.
Oh no. Well, no. I've heard stories of the violence that was pummeled upon him.
Well, didn't
in reaction.
One person shoot him and they put a hole in the glass
Stop.
And that's why they had to delay the open.
That's
why there's a spider
big
there.
Spider over.
And it was too late to replace it.
Way to blend stories there. Start a new urban legend.
I have to imagine if it wasn't.
And then it goes up in Florida.
I have to imagine if it wasn't removed because it was a guest dissatisfier, it was probably similar to Chris who grabbed the Les Paul at Aerosmith.
Oh, right. Rollercoaster. Right. I always
wanted that gig.
I feel like Tim O'Day had that gig at some point.
The Knight or Chris?
The Knight. The Knight.
Hey, Chris, would you grab my Les Paul?
The Knight.
I'll grab my cane.
Aww.
Tim O'Day's a little old to be Chris, that's all I'm saying. He's not actually with the cane. Well,
you're mean. Poor Tim.
Oh,
what did he
Facebook?
Do to you? What did he do to
I
you?
Was at I wasn't at there. It was one of my great regrets in life. I was invited to Tim's 40th birthday.
No, I know.
And it was a long time ago.
You're
Wait, I just realized how old he is. He might be pushing 60 now.
Oh, he's man. Having his diamond jubilee.
Damn, I hope you're okay.
No, stop. He's totally fine. You're terrible.
Well, that's a weird thought. Tracy must be too, then.
And their kid is 47.
I've known these people, Tracy, please, like this.
I know, you've known Tracy. Yes, you've locked Tracy into the time when you met her. I understand. It's very funny.
So their daughter's probably not in diapers anymore.
No, their daughter is not the little baby
probably
that
in
we met.
Now.
Yes, their daughter is not in diapers.
So they're adding something to the nursery?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Are they doing like Florida, right? It'll be like Florida, right?
I don't think so.
Because Florida is actually more out of date than California's.
Okay.
Because they redid it in the
years.
Someone in shadows in the nursery? That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if they did like the drawer trying to open with Tinkerbell trying to get out in the nursery.
Existential going,
get
cool.
out of here. Get out of here.
Can't believe you outed Tim's age. How rude. Go ahead.
I didn't say when. He's older than 40.
No, no, you younger totally than 75. Outed him.
You speculated
totally
numbers.
Outed him.
75? Yeah.
75 years of Disney magic.
Money of sunshine.
You can't tell with that hair. No, no old.
I'm seriously. That's amazing.
Magic.
Except for Tim. I envy your hair, Tim.
Yeah. Paid good money for that hair.
Hey, I don't believe that to be the truth.
I don't believe that to be the truth.
Tim just has naturally plush, luxurious hair.
Yes.
It's Gilderoy Lockhart hair.
I wonder what's going to do the Matterhorn.
I think the Yeti's going to have more than 2 points of articulation.
Which is already two more than the one in Animal Kingdom.
And on par with Sigourney Weaver in Great Movie Ride.
All right, so is there anything else?
I can't think of anything.
Before we close this podcast, I'd like to go around the room and see if there's anything of wisdom or otherwise one would like to say now that you know how this works, Alex.
Oh, I forgot how this works.
You don't have to. I'm just asking. Do you have anything, fanboy?
I think you aged him, too, by the way. I don't think you were invited to his 40th. But
oh, you think it was the 30th?
I think.
No, it wasn't his 30th.
Really?
Okay. Go with 30th.
No, maybe. There is no way.
Could it have been 35?
Could have been 21st.
No.
No, because when I met Tim, there was no way he was in his 30s.
What are you trying to say?
You guys are terrible. I was trying to help Doobie out.
And she succeeded until you opened your mouth.
No, well, I was trying to...
Because how awful.
It's my fault I have integrity.
terrible
there's nothing
people.
Wrong. Hey, the only thing... There's nothing wrong with being 50 years old.
No, nothing wrong with being 6 years old.
Nope.
At what age is there something wrong?
No, there isn't.
110?
No.
No, like 130, because then you made a deal with something.
I think 104, because Jiminy Cricket only talked about living to be 103.
That is a little
so
distressing.
So when you get to 104,
huh?
Then something's wrong.
It's like,
Then you're a fool. That's my word of wisdom.
That's hard to beat. You still don't get the concept.
whatever. That's right. Last time I spit out a quote from Heavyweights. Yeah. The words of wisdom from Heavyweights.
Heavyweights. First time ever someone has quoted
anything. That is not true. There are many Heavyweight fans.
I would like to recommend everyone go see Avengers Age of Ultron.
But you can't go see it until May 1st.
Okay. Unless you go to the El Capitan. Then you can see it on the...
And attend the 27-hour marathon. Yes. Where you and... how many seats are in that thing?
I think they're only selling 500 tickets.
Oh, there's only 500? Yeah. So you can have, like, luxury buffer zones.
Right.
You don't have to get too close to everyone else who's... Because after 27 hours...
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even
want to think about sit next to people.
No. Well,
you want, like, a pretty decent 5-foot perimeter.
I'll take the balcony. You guys have the rest. I'll take the balcony. Rebecca, anything?
We have someone going to that, don't we? So there'll be articles on the site talking about that experience, which I'm excited to
take a nap.
I'm excited to live vicariously through them, because I thought I was ambitious cooking and watching them all in 2 days, but
27 hours
straight.
527 hours of Marvel movies. 27 hours. Talk about booms. Talk about
what?
Booms.
He was saying booms like the sound that explosions make. But I also, when he started that long B-O-O, was curious where he was going. I'm surprised you didn't.
It always comes back to Black Widow, doesn't it?
So... How many Infinity Stones do we have at the end of this movie? Don't answer that.
Please don't answer that.
How many Infinity Stones are there? We're almost there.
Are there a finite number?
Yeah, there are. Six.
There's six Infinity Stones.
Seems almost like an oxymoron.
Touche.
So.
Is seven Infinity Stones more than six Infinity Stones, or are they actually the same number?
But I will say it's not a new...
Don't.
Okay, I won't say.
Don't forget the Austrians. Is there anything you want to say?
Probably
Rebecca?
Get to see it sooner.
No? Okay, I'm sorry. Me either. Other than catch us on Periscope and Twitter and Facebook, not Instagram, I don't know why, and YouTube.
We should get a Pinterest, by the way.
And Pinterest.
We have a Pinterest, but I don't know what to do with it.
Well, Dinner and a Disney Movies.
We have a Tumblr.
Are like for that crowd. That's like Pinterest is made for that kind of thing. Well,
use it.
And any other crafty things any of our contributors or future contributors who are listening right now.
He has some crafty. But you know what did well? Yeah, I should not say this on the air. Never mind. I think that's it. Podcastlastplace.com. No, who cares? And MouseyVacations.com and HoJonahan.com. That's important. We would like to thank Kevin Feige for being our Laughing Place Man of the Year. And Tim O'Day, because I like you a lot. And you were one of the very first person to do an interview with me way back in the day when I was first getting started. And back when you were starting at DisneyAuctions.com. That sets that time period a little bit.
Yeah.
I have a few trinkets.
And let's see. Until we meet again. Au revoir. Oh, and don't forget Albert.